Well, I thank you again for being here, and I welcome everyone. It's good to see the kids again. It's always good to see them. It's good to see everybody back. You know, we're a pretty good congregation. We don't have a whole lot of people, but we're always here. At every service, people are here unless they're sick, and that's just remarkable. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, it is always an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I never take for granted this opportunity that you give me each Sunday. I love to do nothing more than preach and teach. I love that with all my heart and soul. And I always want to thank you occasionally for letting me do that. And I don't take it for granted. The evidence is strong that most people who read and claim to live by the Bible do not really believe what it says. They do not. In fact, they do not accept Jesus Christ as the only and final authority in all things. Instead, they use traditions and custom and morality, theology and history to establish the proof of what is doctrinally right and what is wrong. Many do not accept the claim of the Bible that it is verbally inspired of God. Problems will continue to multiply as long as religious leaders insert their opinions into Bible teaching. At this time, I want to give you seven books more loved and trusted than the Bible. Seven books more loved and trusted than the Bible. Many people are surprised to learn that there are seven books more loved and trusted than the Bible. Let's look at these seven books to see if they're worthy of your love and trust. For many people, the very idea of it, that any book could be more loved and trusted than the Bible is nothing less than blasphemy. Yet it's true. What is even more surprising is that some people who love and trust these other books claim allegiance to the Bible. Others embrace these books and don't even realize it, that they're doing it. How could this be? You may ask yourself, how could this be? Especially when Jesus warns, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 14:6. How could people follow some other book than the Bible? As you will see, it is actually very simple. In fact, you could be a victim of one of these false books and not even know it. The first of these false books is the Book of Opinion. The Book of Opinion. This book is probably the most popular of the seven. It is frequently used to replace the actual study of God's Word. You know that people are using this book when they say something like, "Well, you know, it just seems to me like." Just seems to me. When people build their hope on the Book of Opinion, they are headed for trouble because the Book of Opinion is not inspired. It is not the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Brethren and friends, the gospel is God's power to save, and nothing else will save you. Turn with me to Proverbs 4:14, if you would. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. The Bible says in verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now compare that to the ever popular, "Well, it just seems to me," statement. Compare that to Proverbs 14:12 or to Jeremiah 10:23, where Jeremiah wrote, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." I hope you see the difference. Now please turn with me, if you will, to John 12 and verse 48. Very familiar passage to all of us. John 12 and verse 48. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The book of opinion does not lead to eternal life." Toss it out. Build squarely on the Bible. After all, it is God's, it is the word of God and not the book of opinion that will judge you and all of us in that last day. The second false book is the book of emotionalism. Emotionalism. Quotes from this book often include the phrase, "Well, I just feel in my heart." You've heard that. "But I just feel like in my heart." It's amazing that anyone will use this book for spiritual guidance. Proverbs 28 verse 26 warns us, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Yet it is a popular book in many religious circles. The danger of this book is further seen when we consider everyone feels that he is right. No one becomes part of a religious group because he feels that group is wrong. If feeling right makes a person right, then most people will be saved and Jesus was wrong. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven," in Matthew 7 and verse 21. So toss that book of opinion or emotionalism and build squarely on the Bible. The third false book is the book of "My Preacher Says." We've heard this a lot. "My Preacher Says." Many people substitute this book for study. The problem with this book is that everyone has its own version, and the versions are as different as night and day. If this book was truly inspired by God, then all the versions would be the same because God is not the author of confusion. How do I know that? I know that because Paul told me in 1 Corinthians 14:33 when he said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Let's look together at Galatians chapter 1. And we'll see what God says. He anticipated this book, the book of "My Preacher Says." In verse 9, "If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." It doesn't matter who your preacher is or what he thinks. The Holy Spirit has told him if he teaches anything different from the Bible, he is wrong. You're to count him among the accursed. Do you know that? Read with me 2 John 9-11, familiar passage. 2 John 9-11. This is so clear here. The Bible says, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son." Now listen now, "If there come any in unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." God is not inconsistent. After inspiring the Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 9, God would not contradict himself by telling your preacher to preach a different things than the Bible message. Preachers can and they make mistakes, and they can be wrong. Don't trust the book of "My Preacher Says." Toss it out. Build on the Bible. Brethren and friends, this is one reason I usually start my lessons by saying, "Open your Bibles and follow along with me, for I don't want you to take my word, only the word of God, the Bible." Turn to Acts the 17th chapter with me. Take this a little further. Acts chapter 17, we're going to read verse 11. But let me say this to you. If you feel a little guilty about double-checking your preacher's teaching, then read about the Bereans. Acts 17 and verse 11. "The Bereans were praised They were praised for double and commended for double checking the teachings of the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, verse 11, where the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, listen now, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul was so proud of them because they searched the scriptures daily. They searched the things that he told them to make sure that what he was telling them came from the Word of God. So, brethren and friends, if Paul can stand double-checking, then certainly preachers can today. The truth has nothing to lose and everything to gain when double-checked. And you'd be my best friend if you point out something to me that I have spoken that I should not have. The fourth false book is the book of sincerity. This book is being used when you hear the phrase, well, it doesn't matter what you believe just as long as you're sincere. Most people are sincere, yet that doesn't make them right. Sincerity alone is not enough. Paul said that Jesus will take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. Pretty strong words, aren't they? He also said that those who do not obey the truth will receive tribulation. Look, let's see what Paul says about that in Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul says in Romans 2, verse 8, but unto them that are contentious, listen now, and do not obey the truth, or the gospel, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So what did you say is going to happen, Paul? You said indignation, anguish, tribulation, and wrath, or will fall upon those who do not obey the truth. While we must be sincere, brethren, we must also be right. Those who are sincerely mistaken are in a rude awakening in the judgment day. And Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, it won't hurt us to read that. Let's do that. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, our Lord Jesus is speaking here. Boy, does this apply today. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So toss out the book of sincerity built squarely on the Bible. The fifth false book is the book of traditions. Quotes from this book sound something like, it was good enough for Grandpa, it's good enough for me. If you remember, Jesus scolded people for mixing tradition in with the Word of God. Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. He makes this so clear. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's the men's creeds and so on. The Catholic Church is built upon traditions, not the Bible. There's no doubt that following the religion of our ancestors will bring us to be eternally with them. No doubt about it. The religion of our ancestors will bring us to be eternally with them. But the question is, where will it be? Be careful. Just because Grandpa did it does not make it right. Toss the book of tradition out. Build squarely upon the Word of God. And the sixth false book that we want to talk about is the book of want to. Some people think just because a majority want to that it makes it okay. Man, how many times have we heard it from denominational people? Come to our church because we got 700. Come to our church because we got 10,000. Folks, it just isn't so. Just because the majority wants it. Just because people believe in a stupid idea. It's still a stupid idea if 1 million people believe in it. The majority will walk the broad way that leads to destruction, as Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. To assume that the want to of the majority is acceptable to God is the ultimate in pride and arrogance. We please God by following His word and not the want to of man. Let's take time to read what Paul says about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. Very familiar passages to Bible students. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means preach the word anywhere, anytime you can. Reprove. That means to try to convince. Rebuke. That means to scold. Exhort means to preach with all long sufferings and doctrine. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou, and all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. That's what we're doing here this evening, brethren. So toss the book of want to, built squarely on the Bible. And the seventh false book is the book of updating. Quotes from this book sound something like this. We need to get with the times. We need to get with it today. We're so out of date. You've heard it. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, to update the Bible is to doubt the sufficiency of the original. Remember 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Peter says, according as His divine power hath given us to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. All things, he says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are in the Bible. Updating necessarily infers that the Bible is not good enough the way God wrote it. Now tell us, where is the man or woman qualified to judge God's word in this manner? Show me that person. It gets worse. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. Matthew 24:35. Was Jesus right or wrong? If the scriptures need updating, then Jesus' word did not endure but grew old and in need of repair. And we know it is not. So are you really willing to take such a stand against the scriptures and call into question the power and the judgment of God? Toss out that book of updating. Build squarely on the Bible. Turn with me, if you would please, to John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 39. Jesus said to those Jews who relied so much on their scriptures in John 5 verse 39, He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures, He said, testify of me. Search the scriptures. Search them daily, brethren. How many times have you heard us say, Study your Bible. They had the scriptures from God, but they did not really believe them. if they had understood and believed what the Old Testament says, would have believed what it said concerning Christ. If they had believed the Old Testament, they would know what it said concerning Christ. We criticize these Jews for their unbelief, while at the same time revealing the same disposition towards the New Testament Scriptures. So, brethren and friends, the Bible is important. It is the only means of knowing the will of God. If we do not believe it, we're no better off than we had no revelation at all. On the other hand, if we really believe the Bible, we must accept some facts that most people reject in modern religion. First of all, we must accept and believe that the Bible is all-sufficient. If we really believe the Bible, what the Bible says, we must believe it to be all-sufficient and complete as a revelation from God to man. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, let's look at that. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul told Timothy, he said, all scriptures. That's the Old Testament, the New Testament. He says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When men feel the need to create creeds, which will define their various beliefs, they're saying by that act that the New Testament is not sufficient to do the job. Secondly, we must really believe and accept that there is only one way to heaven. If we really believe what the Bible teaches, we must believe that there's only one way to heaven, and that is by Jesus Christ and His words. Look with me at Matthew 7:14. We all know these, but I want to look at them again. Matthew 7 and verse 14. This should scare you to death if you're not a Christian or if you're in the denomination. Jesus said, Matthew 7 and verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, if you will quickly turn over to John 14:6. Another familiar passage. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. While we're in John, turn over to John chapter 6, and let's look at verse 63. Jesus went on to say in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that He speaks are life. Denominationalism contend that there are many ways to heaven, each denomination claiming its own doctrine to be the one way. The only way one can come to God by Christ is to obey the full authority of Christ in the New Testament. That's the only way, brethren. No getting around it. All who go beyond in any respect or come short in any matter of that which is the authority of Jesus Christ are not in the one way. We have to believe that if we believe the Bible. And we must really believe and accept that all the saved are in the church. If we really believe what the Bible says, we must believe that the church is important to salvation. Usually denominational teachers will insist that the church is not important to one's salvation because to do so would present the problem of deciding which one is important. That's where they have their big problem. That's why they say everybody's going to heaven if you believe in Jesus. Take Jesus in your heart, you're saved. But Paul didn't believe that, or he didn't say that. Paul told the Ephesian elders, In Acts 20 and verse 28, I want us to read that together. Very familiar passage. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of God, the one church, the true church, the only church you read about in the Bible, the church of Christ, he purchased with his own blood. And the one body, the church, was so important to Christ that he died for it, Ephesians 5:25 tells us. The blood that was shed for the one church he built was for the remission of sins in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of no other. The Bible teaches there is but one body of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. And finally, brethren, we must really believe and accept that only the pure gospel is the power to save. If you really believe what the Bible says, we must believe that only the pure gospel of Christ is the power to save. Paul wrote, and let's look at this together. I've read it 1,000 times. We've all read it together 1,000. Let's do it anyway. Romans 1:16. Very familiar passage. I quoted it earlier, but let's read it together. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now earlier, we were in Galatians 1. We read Galatians 1 and verse 9. Now let's go back and read verses 6 through 8. That's Galatians 1, verse 6 through 8. Paul told the Galatians, he said in verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another," he says, "but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Paul says, even if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches to you the things that he hasn't preached to you, let him be accursed. Brethren, that includes a lot of people today. The Bible is the best-selling book in the world every year. Never, ever, ever does it contradict itself. There is not one known fact in the field of science and history, geography, anthropology, psychology, or any other area of study that contradicts or is at variance with the Holy Bible. The writings of men in all these fields of study contain errors and blunders, but none, I repeat, none of these errors or blunders are found in the Bible. The Bible is God's book. It is God's revelation to man. It is a book that reveals who God is and how man can know him. The Bible is a love story. It's a love story of God and his children. The Bible reveals how God demands to be worshipped and what man must do in order to be pleasing in his sight. When people reject the Bible and its inspired teaching, they have in effect rejected God. Now I want you to think about this, what I'm about to say. The things that God has promised his children, that's Christians, would be meaningless if the same promises were promised to us by men or denominations. Man simply, or denominations simply, cannot give us a crown of life. They can't give us eternal life, eternal inheritance, or eternal rest. We would not expect to receive such things from men or denominations. But Jesus promised to save his body, the church, in Ephesians 5:25. But he never, ever, ever promised to save any denomination. So brethren and friends, this one gospel requires faith in Christ and His authority. It requires repentance of sin. It requires a confession with mouth, the faith in the heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It requires baptism, a burial in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said in the first gospel sermon ever preached, when the men and brethren asked him, "What shall we do?" They didn't know what to do to be saved. He's told them, first time the world had ever known what to do, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." To believe the Bible means to believe all these commands, all these facts, all these promises that are revealed without addition or subtraction. Jesus urged men everywhere to accept the simple proposition that He is the Christ, the Son of God, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to take up your cross and follow Him as a member of His church and enjoy the promises and hope of eternal life. How simple. So if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, why don't you do as Jesus pleased for you to do? Why don't you do as He pleads? Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing? Brother Bill.